What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Fun show for you today. We've got a mystery player draft. What is that? I'm not really sure. It's a new segment we're trying. Low expectations, but we've got, the good thing is, plenty of big time news to talk about to give you some mega fantasy advice. What does this mean for the Cowboys with Amari Cooper unlikely to come back? Aaron Rodgers is going to make a decision maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Fingers crossed, we'll have some breaking news about that. Jamie's back. Dave is here. Dave's not going anywhere. We put the franchise tag on you, Dave. Congratulations. Back for another
year. All right.
Yeah.
$15 million guaranteed, right?
You want the quarterback tag.
Yeah, you get the
average. I'll settle for $15 million.
You get the average of the top five fantasy analysts in the industry. Well,
so. I'll take whatever. Franchise tag is an honor. I also, Adam, you didn't get the memo that today is NCAA Final Four Windbreaker Day.
Yeah, man, you forgot your free gear.
It's Windbreaker Day?
Well, I mean, yeah. Take a look at us.
We all got it. Imagine. In the mail. You, apparently.
I got it. I'm just not wearing it.
Now go put it on. Come on.
Go put it on.
I can't,
I don't know if people know what's happening in March.
They do.
It's a college basketball tournament. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully baseball too.
Hopefully. Hopefully American League baseball.
Yeah. Let's get that pitch clock.
I'm going to wear a different team hat in protest every day. Yesterday was the Mets for F-15-5. Today's the Red Sox.
So you just have these from Little League, or you're a hat guy?
Oh yeah. Just from Little League.
Okay.
So I need a slice of pizza every day. Protest.
JB's back from the combine, and he's going to give us some of the key takeaways from the combine. And let's start with the Amari Cooper news. And later we're going to do the mystery draft. What we're going to do with the mystery draft is I'm going to give Dave and Jamie three mystery players at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. I decided not to do it for tight end because I was having enough trouble making it interesting for the first three positions. And you're going to, based on their statistical profile, you're going to decide who you want, and we'll see who has a better team. At the end of the draft.
What if I know all the players already, though?
I don't think you will. I think you'll be able to.
I called your son. I bribed him.
Yeah.
And he sent me the players.
Oh, yeah. Right. He does.
What'd you bribe him with?
Cookies.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll do it. So,
me too.
Let's start with the Cooper news. So, the Cowboys they're likely to release Amari Cooper and save a ton of money in cap space. And they need to do that. So, Dave, what is your thought on this? Winners, losers, give me your 30-second overview of what you think this means with Amari Cooper unlikely to be back. And Michael Gallup reportedly, they're trying to bring him back.
I think there are a lot of winners in this, believe it or not. I think that CeeDee Lamb's going to be a big winner because now his path to being the number one target getter in Dallas is pretty much wide open. I think it'll be big for the other pass catchers in Dallas, whether it's Dalton Schultz if he's back, Gallup if he's healthy, Cedric Wilson if he's back, whoever they bring in. I think it's big for them. I think it's big for Cooper. He's got a chance now to be the number one target on a new team. It'll help the quarterback that's throwing to Amari Cooper. And I think the only loser could be Dak Prescott, who will still be a popular top 8-ish fantasy quarterback. But without having Amari Cooper on the field, we know how good those two work together. I do think it's a step back for him.
Man, Jamie, same question to you. Kind of a 30-second overview of what you think it means. Cooper out and Gallup back for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Dave said. I don't know if Dak will necessarily lose so much because I think, we haven't really seen Dak in a scenario where CeeDee Lamb doesn't have Cooper, and then Gallup, you know, stepping into that role as number two guy with Dalton Schultz, you know. So I think the weapons, you know, take a slight downgrade, but I think Dak can make up for it, certainly with what those other guys will do. And we don't know what they're going to do to address Cooper's absence, you know, certainly in the NFL draft of a very, very deep receiving core. So, you know, they surprised us, you know, three seasons ago at this point when they drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if they get aggressive at that position in the draft at some point. Doesn't necessarily mean day one, but it's going to be, again, a deep draft, so they can address it that way. They could also go cheap in free agency, you know, getting creative once they get their cap situation under control, and maybe bring in somebody of a second or third tier caliber guy that can also help this receiving core as a whole. So Dalton Schultz is the key. If they lose Schultz and Cooper, then that's a big, you know, loss for Prescott. But I think if they move on from Cooper, it's because they plan to keep Schultz in some way, shape, or form. Could be with the franchise tag, could be with a long-term deal. We'll find out that answer, though, probably Tuesday by 4 o'clock if they're going to give the franchise tag to Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, that's deadline for franchise tags. We have one so far, one announced. Orlando Brown, left tackle for the Chiefs. We'll get more franchise tag information in the next day. So we have said this a lot. Based on last year's stats and splits, we want CeeDee Lamb on the outside. So, you know, this is good. Is when it was Gallup, Cooper, Lamb, he was playing a lot in the slot. We don't want that. He's been more productive on the outside. Does this get CeeDee Lamb in the top 12?
100%.
He's real close. He moved up. Just on this news, I moved him up. I think I have him 13th. And I'm okay with him. He can line up wherever he wants. I don't want him exclusively in the slot. But he can line up, you know, 60% wide, 40% in the slot. I'll still be happy. I want him to keep getting fed. Give him 8.5 targets per game. We've seen that from him before. Let's see that again.
Would you rather have CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos?
I don't think Jerry Jeudy is staying in Denver if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos.
Okay, fine.
So Devontae Adams coming with him.
Okay, fine. So then that'd be Adams next there. All right.
If it's just Rodgers for picks, I'd rather have CeeDee Lamb.
Does this mean anything to you guys? A reliable source on Twitter called Vital Vegas has posted that Devontae Adams is buying a $12 million mansion in Vegas. I don't know if he's doing that just to go Airbnb or something like that, but usually when you buy a big house like that, maybe you plan on living in it. I wonder if that means something. That would be crazy. They've got a franchise tag him in Green Bay. And if Aaron's staying, then I imagine Devontae's staying. But the Vital Vegas guys are usually on top of their Vegas news, and that's something that they've posted lately.
Well, speaking of,
it's out of his control, Aaron though, Rogers. You know, for now. So we'll see by tomorrow.
Well, buying a house is never out of your control. You can always do it as long as it's done responsibly. And
hey, but can I'm sure I that's say, what he's doing. Well, all right. Well, first of all, so he's buying a house in Vegas, but those were not the four destinations that Aaron Rodgers was reported.
Right. Maybe he just likes Vegas. It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Denver, Tennessee. Those are the four that that Aaron Rodgers is reportedly down to. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Denver, Tennessee. Your favorite, Jamie, from those four, you'd like to see Rodgers where?
Green Bay or Denver.
Why not Pittsburgh? He could really do some lines so bad. But
it wouldn't be bad, but you asked me for my favorite. So those two are my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Seattle turned down multiple first-round picks from Washington for Russell Wilson. Okay. And the Washington...
Well, Washington, from what I heard at the Combine, they're going to be extremely aggressive. Whether they succeed remains to be, you know, seen. But I think every quarterback that is potentially available that you've heard of... that could be, you know, on the market, they are going to, you know, kick the tires on. So they are doing their due diligence to try and fix that position. So we'll see what they end up doing.
Okay. The Chargers are reportedly going to put the franchise tag on Mike Williams, who in his last 11 games was, I guess, not as bad as I thought, on pace for 70 catches, 1,043 yards, and 5 touchdowns. In 17 games. I mean, that's really not that good. 61.4 yards per game and 5 touchdowns per 17 games. That was his last 11 games. His first 5 games, on the other hand, were spectacular. He had 82 or more yards in 4 of those 5 games, and he had 6 touchdowns. So looks like he'll be back with the Chargers. Dave, what's your reaction here to that news?
I guess it's fine. I'm worried about how they use him. You talked earlier about how you don't want CeeDee Lamb in a certain role in Dallas. I don't want Mike Williams to be just a downfield threat for the Chargers. I want him to get involved in short and intermediate targets as well. And he's got to be better in the inside the 10. He's got to be better at when he gets targeted in the end zone. Can't bobble passes, can't lose those contested catches. Got off to a hot start, and then after that, it was four games with 20-plus PPR fantasy points in the first 5 weeks, and then 15-plus four times the rest of the season, including 26 in week 18. We need a little more consistency out of him, and he's never really delivered it. If he stays in L.A., honestly, I don't think it matters where he goes. I don't see myself being excited to draft Mike Williams this year.
We had Brandon Staley on the show with us, and I asked him specifically about Mike Williams, you know, more so about, you know, if he leaves and what you would do to replace him. One of the greatest sales pitches I've ever heard, you know, about keeping a guy. I said, as soon as he was done talking, I said, all right, guys, clip that and send it right to Mike Williams' agent, because he's going to want to hear every word that Brandon just said. He was just talking about how, you know, and he kind of carried this over to a later question about Justin Herbert, about how these guys having consistency in their career for the first time, you know, obviously Herbert's young, but Williams as well, of the same system, same coaches, you know, giving them, you know, the direction that they hope to build off of. So it does sound like they're going to keep Mike Williams. I was actually hoping to see him, you know, leave more so for Josh Palmer, because I'm very excited about him, but he was also, you know, excited about Palmer as well. But I think when you look at Williams, it's more about what can he do, you know, taking it the next step. And they did try in the beginning of the season, you know, to make him kind of a big slot receiver, you know, in Lombardi's offense. You know, obviously he's not going to play there exclusively because of what Keenan Allen does, but they were trying to move him around a little bit more than we've seen in his career. And so it probably, you know, they got away from that. It would be my guess, certainly as some of the other guys developed as well. But I think Williams is going to kind of fall into that number three receiver that you draft, with the chance that he kind of is in a rotation with some other guys on your fantasy team.
He was a top 15 wide receiver last year, but obviously it was front loaded, as we've mentioned. Would you rather have Mike Williams or Devontae Smith?
Smith.
If things stay the same in Philadelphia, I'd rather have Mike Williams.
Would you rather have Mike Williams or Brandon Ayuk?
Williams.
I have Williams higher.
Okay. Amari Cooper goes to the Patriots. Williams or Cooper?
Wow. Cooper.
I'll take Cooper. I still think he can be like a low-end number two receiver with the Patriots.
All right. More news. Last big item here, then we'll fire through some of the combine notes. We do have more news later in the show that we'll just read through and keep you updated on. But George Kittle, I thought this was pretty interesting. According to The Athletic, he was never fully recovered from his calf injury when he returned. He missed some games earlier in the year. He played 10 games after that and was solid, but inconsistent, especially at the very end of the season. But his last 10 games, he was on pace for 88 catches, 1,161 yards, 10 touchdowns in 17 games. That's pretty good. I mean, the touchdowns are good. You probably expect more yards from him per 17 games. But, you know, his last three games of the season, George Kittle did not have more than 29 yards. He had no touchdowns. Then he wasn't really great in the postseason either. But,
right,
you know, that's kind of, it's like, okay, he was hurt, but he's always hurt. It's like, that's the big issue with George Kittle. So with that said, let me promote something very important. All right. Attacking Third podcast, great podcast, women's soccer podcast. This is a big month for the Attacking Third podcast. 2022 marks the 50th anniversary of Title IX. Attacking Third is celebrating the anniversary all of March for Women's History Month. Each Tuesday during March, hosts Lisa Roman and Sandra Herrera will chat with groundbreakers in women's sports, from Sam Uys and Katrina Adams to Amy Trask and Leslie Visser. Listen to Attacking Third's Title IX Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are found. All right, what'd you think of the combine, Jamie? What were some of the big items that we talked about? A couple on, we talked about the Dallas news, but also the 49ers backfield. I know you wanted to talk about the Bills backfield. Let's start with the 49ers backfield and what you heard from John Lynch, who I really just probably would have taken the announcer role for Amazon if I were him, but hey, I guess he loves being in football. So what'd you hear from him? What'd you think about what he said about his backfield?
Yeah, you know, it's as I told you yesterday when we were doing F15-5, you know, when I get in these situations, you know, combine now for this is the third time I've been there, owners meetings, you know, any just, you know, players I usually speak to, you know, especially as a fantasy analyst, and I think we're all guilty of this, the confirmation bias, you know, so if you're leaning one way and somebody says something kind of pushes you that way. And then it's trying to, you know, just read between some of the BS from what coaches and GMs say. And I have to say that this was one of the more, we actually talked about this as, you know, different media people. There was a lot of honesty, rare honesty coming from a lot of coaches and GMs. The Carson Wentz situation in particular, I've never heard a GM and a coach speak about a player that they have under contract and about wanting to get rid of him, especially at that position. But in any event, John Lynch was asked about his running backs. And, you know, I've said this to you a couple of times, Adam, just in our personal conversations. But he called Elijah Mitchell Drano. He said, because whenever you need someone to fill the gap, he filled it for us. So it was an interesting nickname that they have for him.
That's not what he said. I thought it was finds the gap.
Yeah, I'll get the exact quote for you.
Okay.
But he was talking about, you know, just the backfield depth that they have and how he really likes Trey Sermon, you know, from what it seems. And so, you know, I guess, you know, it could be a situation, you know, was it more like what happened with Brandon Ayuk last year where he had, you know, kind of fallen in the doghouse? It happened with Trey Sermon early in camp and he wasn't able to work his way out of it. You know, was Elijah Mitchell just that good? Obviously, we were hoping for a little bit more from Trey Sermon with the six games that Elijah Mitchell missed. But he seems to be pretty set with that rotation. Now, if you look at it, they haven't had the same leading rusher for 5 years in a row in the 5 years that Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach there. It was Carlos Hyde, Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and then Elijah Mitchell in some order. I probably got that wrong. But what he said was, he said, Elijah, we call him Drano because he always finds the right gap. It's kind of like putting the Drano down the drain and it just finds it. So he said that's what we call him because of his natural run instincts. But then when he was talking about Trey Sermon, he said Trey Sermon we're really excited about, as we are with Elijah, and we like our depth in that room, and it's not bad to be able to turn to Debo when you need a play or two from him as well. So it's a matter of looking at Sermon probably getting a little bit more work, looking at what Elijah Mitchell did, certainly not involved in the passing game, 18 catches on 20 targets last year, factoring in Trey Lance and what he's going to do as a rusher at that position, which they haven't had before. And then Debo Samuel, can you really trust Elijah Mitchell to be a starting running back for your fantasy team next year, week in, week out, especially when you factor in he also missed six games? So I think it's going to be a little tough. You know, I think in non-PPR, you get away with it. In PPR, probably more of a flex play.
I thought you were going to say that if Elijah Mitchell is Drano, then Trey Sermon is what clogs the toilet in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to make that joke. You know,
I think Sermon is going to end up being a great second half of the draft pick, just a dart throw that you carry for the first month of the year, assuming that there isn't bad news out of training camp or assuming that they don't add too much at running back this offseason. I think, remember, this is a guy who studied Kyle Shanahan to learn his new offense when he went to Ohio State, and then he gets drafted there, and I think he was starting to roll just a little bit when he got concussed. And I think that just kind of that combined with Elijah Mitchell having the Drano rookie season, I guess, just kind of pushed him into the background in San Francisco. I think he's got a shot. I think he definitely has a chance if he stays in San Francisco to take a significant amount of work away from Elijah Mitchell.
Well, we got to see what they do with the two free agents and what they do to bring somebody back. Because Kyle Shanahan, I remember the last combine when it was, I think it was Coleman, Mostert, Wilson, and there was a fourth guy, I forget what it was, and he was like, we like having four, you know, we just like having that depth. And so they're not going in with those two guys in Hasty as their top three unless they're going to make Debo more of a full-time running back. And so if that's the case, then his value changes, but I think they're going to still add somebody else. And again, we were surprised when they drafted two last year. You know, it wasn't something that we were expecting them to do. You know, Sermon in the third round, Mitchell in the fifth round. So like, you know, we said about the Cowboys, they're not afraid to add to what is a strength of theirs. And that's something that they might do again.
And you can't just assume that they're going to just kick Mostert to the curb. Kyle Shanahan loves that guy.
Yeah, and I think each of the last two seasons, in my opinion, they went into the season trying to feature Raheem Mostert. You know, in 2020, he had a you know, big week one. Then they had a huge blowout win in week two. But he was definitely the clear-cut starter. And then it's hard to say that he barely played. We have one carry in week one of 2021. But I feel like based on what we saw from Elijah Mitchell afterwards, I feel like he was going to get that treatment as just Mostert was going to get that treatment. He was going to be their guy. But obviously I have no proof of that. It just kind of feels that way. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they would use Trey Sermon. You can't just trash Trey Sermon, obviously. Like John Lynch is going to be like, yeah, we think he sucks. But maybe he does. He didn't really show anything. And
oh, he definitely has a long way to go.
Yeah.
But it's kind of been in the Kyle Shanahan era for fantasy, the last running back that you think, or the last one that you draft maybe, has been the best one.
I know, but it's weird. I buy into that. I forget. I used to say it's like Rangers closers, I think, because they always had a different one every single year, and it was never the guy you drafted in fantasy. But at the same time, I mean, I really think it was injury-related for Mostert anyway. I don't remember the circumstances surrounding
that. I mean, if you're judging injuries, Mitchell did not give you a good first impression based on injury. He missed six games.
What do you do as a fantasy analyst with this thing that 49ers running backs just always get injured? It should probably have zero effect on how you go into 2022. You can't be like, well, he's a 49ers running back.
They really struggled with injuries the last few seasons. I mean, you think about after their Super Bowl year, you know, they were lucky the Super Bowl season in terms of how they got through their injuries, if I remember correctly. But the last two seasons, you know, I mean, Kittle's missed time. Nick Bosa's missed time. The secondary was banged up.
Brutal. I mean, they're
Garoppolo missed time.
Right. Look what happened to their quarterback. Look what happened to their secondary.
The whole defense, basically. 2 years ago, the whole defense. These are their key players. Yeah. Maybe they just can't keep their players healthy.
This is where the benefit comes in, you know, to your question about the running backs. They run the ball better than anybody. And, you know, that's Mike Shanahan to Kyle Shanahan. You know, I mean, you go everywhere they've been, Denver, Houston as a coordinator for Kyle Shanahan, Atlanta as a coordinator there, Washington when they were there, obviously San Francisco. You know, they just run the ball. I don't know why teams don't copy the same thing. You know, personnel obviously matters, but the schemes that they've had for, 30 years has been extremely successful. And so he's going to get somebody back there. You're going to want to have somebody there. And so to Dave's point, yeah, it's not a bad dart throw to take Trey Sermon if Mitchell misses time, if he's number two. It could be Mostert if he's back. It could be rookie X that they draft. Look, Tevin Coleman's a free agent. They may decide to bring him back instead of bringing back
him. That's one guy I won't buy into.
But I'm just saying, you know, in terms of what the 49ers do, you know, they're going to probably add somebody else, and that somebody else is probably going to make us go, oh, why did they do that? And ruin maybe Mitchell, maybe Sermon, maybe both. And that third guy could be the one that we want.
I also just quick footnote. I hope he sticks with the Deebo Samuel a couple times, a play or two or whatever he said, because for the sake of the backfield, if Debo's getting eight carries, that's a killer.
Yeah,
if he's getting one or two, that's different. I guess if you have Deebo Samuel on your team, you want it.
I bet they reconsider carrying four running backs if they're going to commit to giving Deebo the ball more. They can carry three running backs, and Deebo is the fourth.
Well, it's the roster versus the active roster, you know. So that's the difference.
Jamie, sorry that went a little long. So let's do two more. You want to talk Bills?
Yeah, you know. So I asked Sean McDermott about Devin Singletary, and it was kind of interesting timing because he had just answered a question in regards to meeting with offensive players. He didn't specify which players, but I think you can assume based on their needs that it's either going to be running back or probably offensive line, because I think those are the two positions that they go into looking at. Now, they could look at receiver, obviously. They could be looking at backup quarterback because they're going to lose Trubisky. So, you know, he could have meant anybody. Could be tight end. You know, he just didn't specify. He said, we had good conversations with a lot of offensive players. And so I said, you know, what was the difference for Singletary at the end of last season, your commitment to him, and then what does that mean for his offseason or his role going into 2022? So he said, everyone wants to know who's the lead back, right? Well, at the end of the day, I thought Devin did a phenomenal job. Again, a young player that continues to earn everything that he gets. I thought his determination, the way he ran the ball in the back half of the season, let's say the back six games, really, I thought energized our offense and gave us an identity and some great momentum, some great energy within certain games in particular. So really happy with the way he performed last season and look forward to another strong year from him moving forward. So, you know, a non-answer really in terms of the commitment for 2022, but clearly was excited about the way that he ran the ball. And I think we know, you've seen the reports about the friction potentially between Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll. And so is there something to that, that McDermott, a defensive guy, wanted to run the ball more, take some pressure off of his defense, take some pressure off of Josh Allen, and sort of, you know, control the clock a little bit, as opposed to maybe Daboll, who has this amazing quarterback and wants to play to the strengths of his team, which was clearly not running the ball. So we'll find out, you know, with Ken Dorsey being promoted to the position, with Joe Brady coming on as an offensive guy, those two things, you know, may not work hand in hand, because I think Brady probably a little bit more of a pass friendly, you know, play caller as he was in Carolina, or at least wanted to be. And, you know, Ken Dorsey being a quarterback and wanting to appease to his quarterback, also being on Dable's, you know, staff per se, you know, coming from that tree, is he going to want to lean that way? But, you know, if McDermott's keeping him in the position, you know, maybe it's more of a, hey, you know, you follow my lead. So we'll find out. You know, I think that's the position. I think we're going to see what the Bills decide to address, if they do, in the draft or free agency, where they brought in Matt Breida last offseason. Zach Moss still clearly there, will be a part of it in some capacity. But Singletary, somebody I know, you know, Chris Towers earlier in one of our podcasts said he thinks he's a breakout candidate, you know, building off those six games and, you know, carrying that over to the course of a full season. It's still such a big question mark to me. So I think Singletary is still a guy you want to look at as a number two running back, a good one potentially, but not somebody I think you want to be overly aggressive with. So like that round four, round five range to me is still where I think he'll live.
Dave, are you on Singletary or Elijah Mitchell if you're drafting today?
I've got Mitchell higher in my rankings right now, but that's because I'm assuming that Buffalo will make a bigger splash at running back than San Francisco will. Now, if the draft ends and Buffalo doesn't make that big splash, and maybe San Francisco does, or maybe San Francisco makes a little splash and Buffalo just doesn't do anything at the running back position, and in fact, they fortify their offensive line, I'll move Singletary ahead. I've been waiting for Buffalo to make a big splash at running back for 2 years. They haven't done it either time. So when I heard Sean McDermott's quote, it made me think that they're very much considering not bothering to go heavy on running back again. And they might be very happy to just go with Singletary as their main guy. Moss might earn that second spot. Somebody else might earn that second spot. Maybe it's a late round rookie, who knows? And they just move forward that way because they've done so well being this Josh Allen centric offense that they just keep doing that. And who the running back is doesn't really matter as much.
The Moss thing is interesting to me because I think they like him. I just don't know if they could trust him, you know, based on the injuries, the fact that every time he seems to start to build something, he misses time. And so I just wonder if, you know, did Singletary do enough to kind of say, okay, we can run with this guy. We can roll with this guy. He can be the one that we lean on, and we don't have to worry about necessarily using Moss. If in fact, you know, today's point, they don't go out and make some big splash. I don't see them making a huge splash there, because I think Sean McDermott and certainly Brandon Bean are smart enough to realize that that's not a position you invest heavily in to make your team successful. So they have these guys under control in terms of Singletary, Moss, maybe draft a third and go that route. So I don't think it'll be a heavy investment, but I do think maybe day two or day three, most likely probably day three, is something that they do, because that's kind of been what they've done. You know, Singletary was what, a round three pick, and Moss was as well.
What was nice to see was Singletary was getting a lot of short yardage touchdowns. I don't want to necessarily say goal line, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards out. I was getting a bunch of those down the stretch, and that was usually something that just went to Josh Allen. And Allen still, even without those touchdowns, Josh Allen still had a huge finish. So you saw their offense was capable of having Allen, you know, do it basically with his arm, a little bit with his legs, and still lose some of those goal line or short yardage touchdowns and still be awesome. One final news item, Jamie.
News item.
Or anything. You don't have. I mean, we can move on. We've covered a lot.
I mean, I just, because I have the notes in front of me from what McDermott said about Gabriel Davis, another guy that we're obviously excited about. He was talking about, you know, just his development, and, you know, I'm still somewhat old school with this, about 30 year receiver. So he's entering year three. So what he said was he has a tremendous DNA. He's a winner. He's a player that in year two, really in year one, our backup in year one, had a good season, came back and followed up in year two, which is not easy to do. Then he continues to get better and better. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing when he comes back in year three. Now this offseason, he's quickly becoming one of our leaders in our locker room at such a young age, which is unique to say for a young player. So, you know, he had that strong playoff performance, over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Chiefs, you know, clearly showing the upside and the high ceiling type of plays that we look for. Emmanuel Sanders is a free agent. I would be very shocked if they brought him back. I would also be surprised they don't add somebody to that room, because, you know, Cole Beasley is not exactly young. Stephon Diggs is starting to get expensive. So, you know, they might be starting to look at how they keep turning over the position in the future. So we'll see, you know, again, the investment that they make there. But clearly, I think Gabriel Davis is going to be one of these guys that you have to consider a breakout candidate. And if he does, you know, start to show you those flashes with more targets and more opportunities, he could be a special player with a great quarterback.
He's going to score 4 touchdowns every game.
right? That's what that, I mean,
five every two games.
Okay. I think Davis is going to be the number two receiver there. They gave Cole Beasley permission to seek a trade. That's usually the precursor to somebody not being on that team in the coming year. So they might have a big opening at slot receiver. I remember the one game Isaiah McKenzie had when he was their slot receiver. Cole Beasley was out. McKenzie was awesome.
But Davis was out that game too, right?
What's up? He might have been. I believe it was McKenzie who was lining up in the slot.
Like, yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, target opportunities were certainly big.
They could conceivably begin the year with Diggs, Davis, and McKenzie as their top three receivers. They could draft a receiver, maybe in that round three, round four range, and let that guy be what Gabriel Davis was for the next couple of seasons, where he just works his way up into the offense. And I think they can get by with that, assuming that they've got at least Dawson Knox tight end. I'm sure, Jamie, you heard the rumors about Gronk maybe ending up in Buffalo. That would be really, really fun. I think this passing offense will be just fine. And if Davis is going to have that big of a role, then he's going to be one of the most prominent breakout receivers that everybody in fantasy is going to talk about. I wonder if that leads to him getting overdrafted a little bit. I like him in that round six-ish range at the absolute earliest. I don't think he's worth a top 60 pick overall. That would be around.
If Beasley's gone, he'll be in that range.
Yeah.
Like, people get overexcited about him.
Man, I think he'll get... He's got this ability to score touchdowns is incredible. He has 16 games in his career. You're going to hear this stat a lot from me throughout the next few months. 16 games with four or more targets, just four or more targets. And he's got a touchdown in 10 of those 16 games. I'll just look at games with four or five targets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I think there's 11 of them. And he's caught a touchdown in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 11 games where he has only four or five targets. He's caught a touchdown in seven of 11
pretty
games.
Good.
It's crazy.
Does that pace continue if he's a number two receiver?
It can't continue. It just can't. He's also not a guy who has a ton of short yardage touchdowns. If you look at all five of his playoff touchdowns, one against New England, four against the Chiefs, they were all from 19 yards out or 18 or more yards out. Yeah. So I think his production has been fluky in that regard. But of course, the touchdown rate comes down. The targets, the yards, that all goes up. You obviously can make up. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break here. More news in a moment. And then the mystery draft. Yeah. Everybody's excited about it. And Dave, you're going to review Taken today? Right? Did I hear that?
Absolutely not.
I got some rookie notes for you, too.
Oh, yeah, we should probably do that. Okay, rookie notes. Yeah. We come back. Rookie notes and a Taken reveal. We'll be right back on Fantasy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back. Dave, you haven't watched Taken. What's going on here?
My wife and I sat down to watch it. And we watched the preview for Taken first. And my wife immediately went, I'm not watching this.
Yeah. What? Really?
So my review is Pirates of the Caribbean was very good. The second one was a lot more entertaining than the first one.
That's the first time you saw that one too?
Yeah.
wait a second. You saw which one? The first Pirates of the Caribbean?
Dead Man's Chest. We saw.
No, I think they all suck after the first one. The first one's great.
Okay. Well, we like the second
one. No, they're all entertaining.
Right.
Yeah, they're whatever.
Like, I'm not going to. They're like one of my favorite movies of all time.
They're like a bad Game of Thrones episode. It's just like action porn, basically. But all right, you'll watch Taken by yourself. Also, I would say Taken is better than the preview. I've seen the trailer, and it makes it look really cheesy. and it's doesn't do it justice.
I tried to sell my wife on watching. They have a
teenage daughter, so watching that movie probably at this point in their lives is not the best thing.
No, I'll watch it. I don't. I'm just gonna have to find some time when no one's home where I can watch Taken solo,
Adam does.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah. Adam puts everybody to sleep, and then he can sit and watch a movie. There was something I saw on Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah. Taking my clothes. Okay, never mind. What did?
Whoa! They had something on Amazon Prime called The Hungover Games, where they paid like average actors to like do a parody of The Hangover and The Hunger Games in the same movie.
Oh God!
And I tried to sell my wife on watching that because it looked absolutely terrible, and she also wouldn't watch The Hungover Games.
It sounds pretty terrible. Okay, what do we got from Rookie Talk? Oh, wait, did I ask you this very fun question that I forgot to ask? Would you rather, I didn't ask you this, right? Gabriel Davis or Michael Gallup?
Davis. Oh, my gosh.
Well, think about it. One guy's the number two wide receiver for the Cowboys. He had,
who's got a torn ACL?
Well, it's assuming health, obviously. Okay. But
ask that question again.
Davis has not done in his career what Michael Gallup has done.
They'll probably be drafted in a similar range. I would say probably a round or two apart if there's no Amari Cooper, but Davis will definitely go first.
Yeah, I know he will. I want to know what you guys thought. Yeah, okay. Which rookie stood out to you?
As Brady Quinn told me, I need to drink more milk, but I'm always intrigued whenever one of these running backs breaks my hand when I shake their hand. And so the two that I referenced to this running back in particular were Adrian Peterson when I met him at the Rookie Symposium in 2007. I'll still never forget that. Felly broke my hand. And then Jonathan Taylor at the Combine two seasons ago went also same thing. And if you're in the same company with those two guys, I think you're pretty happy about that. I'm sure there are plenty of other running backs that have strong grips. But Breece Hall, when I shook his hand, I felt like he broke my hand. And I said that to him. He's my favorite running back. He's probably my favorite rookie in his class. And did nothing to take away any of his stock because he just destroyed the competition in the combine drills. And impressed, you know, me in terms of the interview process that when we spoke to him. So he has everything that you're, I think, going to be looking for. Now, Ken Walker was impressive. James Cook was fun to talk to on and off the air.
How many of these hands did you shake? Did you shake Ken Walker's hands?
I shook Ken Walker's hand. I shook James Cook's hand. I shook Isaiah Spiller's hand. I shook Rashad White's hand. I shook Malik Willis's hand.
Only one of them felt like it gave you the broken
hands. Yeah, which one felt like you were shaking hands with?
There's a different handshake for certain people. Now, I don't have the strongest handshake. And sometimes, you know, I always hate, like, if somebody grabs my hand first and, you know, you get, like, the weak handshake from you. Like, I give the weak handshake. You know, I hate that.
Yeah, no, you don't want that, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
somebody grabs your fingers, like, and it's like, you can't ask, hey, let's shake hands again because it's just awkward. Unless you know the person, whatever. But, so, like, I try to extend, like, I try to have my hand, my fingers open, you know, so, like, they can't squeeze my hand too soon. But there's a different handshake for certain people. And, you know, if you've ever had the opportunity to shake Adrian Peterson's hand, you know, you know it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Taylor was the same way. And Breece Hall was the same way. But he was every bit as good as advertised in the combine. Now, funny exchange happened on the set because Ryan Wilson, who's fantastic and hates Adam Azer, by the way. Ryan Wilson has Ken Walker as his favorite running back. Now, obviously, he's looking at it from an NFL perspective. I'm looking at it from a fantasy perspective. Because Walker did not show a lot catching the ball at Michigan State or at Wake Forest. So, you know, I asked him about that. You know, I said, you know, is that the part of your game that you need to, you know, sort of showcase that you can do? He's like, yeah, you know, give me an opportunity to run routes. I certainly catch the ball in my hands. They're not a problem. It's just the way offense, whatever, blah, blah. But I said to Breece Hall, Ryan has you as the number two running back in the class. You're my favorite. Convince him why he's wrong. And it didn't mean it to come across like I'm trying to throw Ryan under the bus, but that's obviously the way that it came across.
Yes, and it did.
You didn't mean it that way?
Huh?
You did not mean it that way?
No, I was, you know, uh-huh. I played, you know, a couple games with some of these prospects. I said, Ryan and Tommy Tran was the host. And I said, all right, Ryan is the coach. Tommy's the GM. Look at them and tell them why they should draft you. You know, I did that with a couple of the prospects. So I was kind of trying to do the same thing, you know, convince him why he should make you number one. You know, he's not locked in. This isn't his final, you know, prospect list. And he sized up Ryan with his eyes. And he was like, there are there might be two guys in this class that you like. I am not number two.
No, he said I'm top two and not two.
Yeah, whatever he said. Right, you correct it. So that's Ryan was question, like, you threw me under the Breece Hall bus.
That's a good question that you asked. I think that's fun.
But in any event, he did nothing to dispel my thoughts that he's the best running back in his class. I like Isaiah Spiller. I thought he was great. James Cook, I asked him, what's the difference between you and your brother? It's Dalvin Cook's brother. And he said, my hands are a 10. So I don't know if that meant that his brother's hands are not. And he kind of likened himself more to a pass catching back. I'm going to say his name probably wrong, but Kyren Williams, either Kyren or Kieran. I think it's Kyren. Brady Quinn, correct me. The kid from Notre Dame. Just very impressive. Speaking to him, very unimpressive with his drills. Slowest time of any running back. And so just, you know, feel bad for the kid. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, ruin his potential, because I do think he could be, you know, a good third down back. I don't know if he'll be, you know, a featured guy. Brady was trying to convince me otherwise, but again, Notre Dame bias. But in any event, the running back, you know, class was interesting. I spoke to a couple of the receivers. Drake London was the one that was most impressive to me. He's starting to become one of my favorites of the non-Ohio State guys. And I think Jameson Williams would have probably improved his stock as well if he had not had the ACL. He probably would have been the best. He still might be the best receiver in this class. I don't think he's going to get drafted first. Treylon Burks obviously did not have a great 40 time, you know, especially given how fast everybody was running. Alex Pierce is quickly becoming one of my favorite guys for sure, the receiver from Cincinnati. But we'll see where he ends up. You know, he's going to be a guy I think that has, you know, the receivers you don't really know based on name. Chance to
You'll
make
know him.
An impact.
Yep.
And then I spoke to Malik Willis. You know, I was on the set with Malik Willis, and he was very well spoken. You know, thinks he can be the best quarterback in his class. You know, had arguably the best moments of any of the rookies at the combine, and it didn't happen in the building. It was, you've probably seen the video by now. He was helping a homeless person on the street, and somebody just happened to catch him. You know, recorded it happening, where he was seemingly giving, you know, either money or something to a homeless person, but took the time and spent, you know, what seemingly a couple minutes there. So Kenny Pickett's hands were obviously a big story, you know, in terms of what his hand size was, 8.5. It's smaller than Burrow, who came in at 9. Last quarterback that had hand sizes of this size that was anything of significance was Michael Vick. Obviously, Kenny Pickett doesn't do that. So we'll see how that hurts his stock. Matt Corral, you know, he
Corral, right? Matt Corral.
I think it's Corral, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
I was looking at the pronunciation. I thought that's what it was.
Dave,
in any event, what was I gonna say? Pete Prisco sold on Pickett being the best guy, just in talking to him off the air. He thinks he's the alpha of the group. And then Carson Strong said his knee's not an issue. You know, clearly that's gonna be the thing that probably knocks him the most, but he said, you know, he took it off prior to his last game, went through the Senior Bowl practices without the knee brace on, didn't wear the knee brace, you know, for whatever he, you know, was doing with the teams, or showing the teams. So, you know, that's going to be the thing that knocks him. I think he's the best pure thrower in of the group, but we'll have to see how teams view that.
Okay. Great stuff. I'm looking forward to this rookie class. Maybe 5 wide receivers being drafted in the first round. Going to be a lot to talk about. Don't know if we'll have any running backs making the first round, but it will provide us some interesting fantasy takes for sure.
Ryan keeps comparing it to the 2020 class, where, you know, we didn't expect to see someone go in the first round. Edwards-Helaire surprises at the end of the first round with the Chiefs. But think about round two, you know, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, and where we think of those guys now. If everybody was healthy and had the years that we thought they were going to have, you would have be, you know, we'd be talking about maybe potential first round picks for Akers, for Swift, obviously Taylor, Dobbins, you know, if they had performed like we thought they were capable of performing last year, and hopefully those guys that were injured and coming off some strong seasons can do it again.
I think it is Corral. I know I heard it as Coral when I was watching, but
oh, you're right, it's Corral. I'm sorry.
Wait, no, you said it right. I said it wrong.
Okay.
So, but thank you, Jamie. We'll just pretend I was right about that. All right,
we'll get it right. We need a backup somewhere.
Do some news and notes. there's some news and notes here, and Dave already mentioned this, but the Bills are going to allow Cole Beasley to seek a trade. Multiple teams have expressed interest in trading for Derek Carr. His status seems pretty up in the air right now. That's according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Mm.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley not expected to be traded. saw that. That was Ian Rappaport, but also I think that's the prevailing sentiment.
That was another kind of refreshing take. And you know, Arthur Smith also said something kind of similar about Matt Ryan, but both Joe, how you pronounce the GM's name? I never get it right.
O'Shane
and Brian Daboll, you know, kind of saying if the right offer's there, we have to consider everybody, you know. And you know, usually when you hear about a franchise player, and I think still think Barkley's somewhat of a franchise player, you don't say, yes, we're considering trading him. And Arthur Smith said, if the right offer is there for Matt Ryan, we have to entertain it. You know, so the Wentz situation, Arthur Smith saying that about Matt Ryan, which didn't get any headlines because nobody was kind of paying attention to the Falcons. And the Giants situation, you know, obviously, which got a lot of buzz with Barkley. So if teams are willing to, I think, pony up for what the Giants would be asking for, I'm sure they would consider it. But I think that report is accurate. They're not going to trade Saquon Barkley anytime soon.
Patriots cornerback J.C. Jackson's going to become a free agent. He wants big-time money. Chris Carson's recovery from neck surgery is going well, according to USA Today.
Nice.
So he really might be the number one running back. It's not.
And there's another report that came out, I think it was last night or this morning, that the Seahawks aren't going to get in a bidding war with Rashad Penny. Carroll was pretty glowing about Rashad Penny, you know, talking about the way that he finally came through last season, looked like the guy that they drafted, you know, a lot of things that we said as well. But Carroll putting words to it that, you know, they were just so happy for him. They want him to come back. But again, I don't think they're going to overpay for that position, which, again, I think makes sense.
Calvin Ridley's situation with the Falcons is extremely complicated, according to Ian Rappaport. Minnesota head coach Kevin O'Connell said he's going to move Justin Jefferson around the formation. And obviously the comparison would be Cooper Kupp. Just the way the Rams play, the guys moved around a lot and could see that with Justin Jefferson. Blake Jarwin, not expected to be ready for week one. He played, I think, 8 games last year for the Cowboys, but his hip injury is a pretty serious one. Jarwin, not expected to play. And for what it's worth, you did see more routes run per game for Dalton Schultz without Blake Jarwin on the field. I don't know if that was just because he was taking on a bigger role later in the season, but you did see an increase there. In fact, in the last, I want to say, 10 games of the year, Dalton Schultz was 3rd in the NFL in routes run behind Deontay Johnson and Stephon Diggs, and he was only one route behind Diggs. The Saints re-signed Juwan Johnson to a 1-year deal. The Patriots have talked to the Panthers about acquiring Robbie Anderson, according to Boston Sports Journal. They definitely seem to want to upgrade at wide receiver, so they're a team to keep an eye on, the Patriots, that is. Tyreek Hill expected to sign a 4-year, $85 million deal, according to Pro Football Network. The Chiefs franchised or will franchise tackle Orlando Brown, left tackle, and the Rams want to re-sign Odell Beckham. And after all that, it's now time for our mystery draft. So here's how it will work.
Let me get Andrew's notes.
I have basic clues about three quarterbacks, 3 running backs, and 3 wide receivers. And I'm going to give you basically their statistical profiles, and you guys get to pick who you want. And you will obviously leave one of them on the board. So Jamie, who wants to be first at one of you will be first at quarterback. One of you will be first at running back. And then I'll decide who goes first at quarterback at wide receiver. Pardon me, Jamie, would you like to be the first person to pick a quarterback or a running back?
I will go with quarterback.
Okay. So I'm going to give you 3 quarterbacks here.
Okay.
This would be a good visual segment if I had graphics, but I don't. So just try to play along at home, everybody, as best you can. Quarterbacks A, B, and C. Quarterback A has 2 top 10 finishes in his career, 1 top 5.
So wait a minute. Am I supposed to just say the player when I get it?
You're going to hear his stats and then pick one of them.
Yeah, don't even get it. You can say if you want to talk, think out loud who you think is, whatever, but that would be beneficial to Dave.
Okay.
All right. So quarterback A has 2 top 10 finishes in his career, 1 top 5. Quarterback B has not finished top 10 in his career. Quarterback C has 4 top 10 finishes and 2 top 6. He's never finished higher than 6, though. So quarterback A has a top 5 finish. Quarterback B has 2 top 6 finishes, 4 top 10. That's quarterback C. Quarterback B has never finished in the top 10. I already screwed this up. Great. All right. Let's go to some completion rates and yards per attempt. Quarterback A, 66% completion rate, 7.5 yards per attempt. Quarterback B, 61.3% completion rate, 7.3 yards per attempt. Quarterback C, 66.3% completion rate, 7.5 yards per attempt. Quarterback C was the best there, although tied with quarterback A in yards per attempt. Well, passer rating. Quarterback A was 11th best. Quarterback B, 22nd best last year. Quarterback C, yeah, 4th best passer rating last year. All right, so I've kind of set it up. Quarterback B, at least we know, is the worst passer of the group. How about air yards? Quarterback A, 18th in air yards per pass attempt. Quarterback B, 4th in air yards per pass attempt. A lot of downfield. Quarterback C, 8th in air yards per pass attempt. How about receivers? Quarterback A had 2,000-yard receivers last year. Quarterback B had none. Quarterback C had one. You guys kind of following? Is this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Not only am I following, I already know which quarterback Jamie's taking and which quarterback I'm taking.
Okay, Jamie, who do you want?
I'll take quarterback A.
Okay. Dave?
I'll take quarterback C. But I'm sure quarterback B is going to be one of the rookie quarterbacks, like Justin Fields or somebody like that.
All right, let's go to running backs. Dave, you get the first running back pick.
Wait, we don't know who they are? You're not going to tell us?
No, not yet. I'm going to tell you at the end.
Okay.
Oh, you want to know now? That's fine. We'll do it now. Jamie selected Justin Herbert. Dave selected Kirk Cousins.
I knew it.
And you both.
I was hoping Jamie was going to take quarterback C.
Look, and, just leave me had a great year. Yeah.
And he might be better this year.
You left Jalen Hurts on the board. Jalen Hurts was quarterback.
I know. I had a feeling it was Hurts when you said no top 10 finishes. So it was somebody young. And then when you started to say the I knew that he, you know, when he threw the ball down the field, he threw the ball down the field a lot. So the air yards.
I'm surprised that he was fourth in air yards.
Me too. I'm surprised Cousins was fourth in passer rating.
Yeah. I did a little research on Cousins. You'll see it on the site sometime soon, but I think there's some room to be optimistic about him now that Zimmer's gone and that O'Connell's there. And that there's a relationship between O'Connell and Cousins. He's got a shot to finish top 12 among quarterbacks.
He always finishes top 12. That's the thing. It's just
He's been top six before, or like top 10 a bunch of times, like Adam said.
4 times.
But never better than six. He's the quarterback that no one's going to be excited to draft, and he'll come after all the exciting.
He should be 15
quarterbacks off the board. Around there. Yes.
You should look at him as if you miss or if you take a Lance or a Fields, that's the guy you pair him with.
I think what's tough about a player like Cousins is in a 2QB league, do you go with Lance, Fields, or Cousins? Might be a risk tolerance thing.
I think you go with one of those two guys and Cousins, kind of similar approach, and then you kind of backfill that with like a Tannehill or a somebody that's also kind of a reliable veteran that you know you can get by with. Matt Ryan, that type of guy.
All right, Dave, you got to make up a little ground here, okay?
No, I don't. Kirk Cousins is okay.
Yeah, he's got Herbert. You got Cousins. Let's do running backs. Okay, running back A, career 5.1 yards per. Is this career 5.1 yards per carry, 8.3 yards per catch? Running back B, career 4.1 yards per carry, 7.7 yards per catch. So both much worse than running back A. Running back C, career 6 yards per carry. And 6.7 yards per catch. Best rush average, the worst receiving average for running back C. Running back A has 9 career rushing touchdowns. Running back B has 33 career rushing touchdowns. And running back C, just like running back A, has 9 career rushing touchdowns. How about his role? Running back A has 4.6 carries per catch in his career. 4.6 carries for every catch in his career. Running back B has 6.5 carries per catch in his career. Running back C has 7.4 carries per catch in his career. That might give you a hint as to who just doesn't really catch passes, basically, or maybe not. Maybe who just gets a lot of both. And finally, what about team profile? Running back A's team was second in rush attempts in 2021. Total rush attempts, not running back rush attempts. Running back B, 19th in rush attempts. His team was 19th in rush attempts in 2021. Running back C, his team was 3rd in rush attempts in 2021. So you do have two running backs here who are on top 3 rush attempt offenses. If you need any of the info repeated, let me know. Otherwise, make your pick.
I'll take running back A.
Okay. Jamie, who do you want?
I will take running back B.
Okay, Dave, you're going to have to get some help at wide receiver because Jamie has Justin Herbert and Joe Mixon. You have Kirk Cousins and Miles Sanders.
Nice. Yes. Yes.
I think Miles Sanders, career 5.1 yards per carry and 8.3 yards per catch. That is exceptional.
Yeah, but we know what the deal.
Andrew has not disappointed.
Yeah. Andrew's my son who gave Jamie.
Who was he? Who was running back
C? Oh, I can't let you in on that info yet.
Any guesses, guys? Career 6 yards per carry, 6.7 yards per catch, 9 rushing touchdowns, not a lot of catches, 7.4 carries per catch.
Nine rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he and Sanders. Yeah, 9 in his career. On YouTube here. I thought the 6 yards per carry would
entice. The 7.4 whatever carries per catch made me.
It's J.K. Dobbins.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So he's played 1 year. That's those are his career numbers. All right, Dave, I'm going to let you go first at wide receiver since you need the help.
It's going to be a terrible player. I'm already sure of this.
Wide receiver A. But let me tell you this. They all led their team last year in targets, catches, and yards. Wide receivers A and B also led their teams in touchdowns. Wide receiver C did not. But all of these guys were leading their team in targets, catches, and yards, and two of them, A and B, led their team in touchdowns. Wide receiver A had an 11.1 ADOT. Wide receiver B, 9.8. Wide receiver C, 10.3. So most downfield guy was wide receiver. Wide receiver A, 7.5 yards per target, ranked 75th. And that was actually the second lowest mark of his career, 7.5 yards per target. Wide receiver B, 8.4 yards per target, ranked 41st. He also had the lowest ADOT. Wide receiver C, 9.2 yards per target, by far the best in this group, ranked 20th. And he had the middle ADOT. Catch rate, wide receiver A, 63%. Wide receiver B, 68%. Wide receiver C, 66%. Where do they line up? Wide receiver A, 78% of his snaps are out wide. Wide receiver B, 84% out wide.
Ooh.
Wide receiver C, 65% out wide. Wide receiver C was more slotty.
He said slotty, right?
Slotty. He was second in ADOT. He was second in yards per target, and he was second in catch rate. Wide receiver B had the best. No, I'm sorry. I screwed that up. Wide receiver C was first in yards per target. Wide receiver B was second in yards per target. Wide receiver A was last in yards per target. Anything else you need to know, Dave?
Do you have touchdowns?
I can. All right,
yeah,
I'll help you out with that.
I mean, I think I already know which one I'm taking.
Who do you think right now you're taking?
I think I'm taking wide receiver C.
All right, wide receiver A had 10 touchdowns. Wide receiver B had 6. Wide receiver C had 6. Overall, wide receiver A had kind of disappointing statistics, except for the touchdowns.
Except for the touchdowns, right.
Wide receiver B
sounds like DJ Moore. I think wide receiver B. I'll change my mind based on that. I was going to take C.
All right, Jamie, who do you want, A or C?
I will take Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, wide receiver A, Stephon Diggs. Jamie is going to kick your ass. Justin Herbert, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, did you take Jalen Waddle?
No. Justin Herbert.
I would have been happy with Waddle.
Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs. Dave has Kirk Cousins, Miles Sanders, and Michael Pittman. You have Michael Pittman. And wide receiver C was CeeDee Lamb.
Listen, man, Jacob Eason to Michael Pittman next year.
And you just did our mystery draft. Good job, guys. Good job.
So I don't know what that necessarily proved because you took a bunch of stats that were arbitrary.
Okay, let's read this question from Donnybrook. Is Adam's dad a CBS exec or something? Was this show a birthday present? Dave and Jamie were threatened if they refused to participate. He also says running back A prefers to wear green underwear while running back B likes blue. Okay. Does anyone at CBS have a handler to protect Adam from himself?
I'm going to do a bunch of research on 9 players. Why don't we just do a real draft?
Right. What do you mean a real draft? Because we were trying to go.
Here's the player pool, and then I'll give you the stats on the players.
You know, you'd never know what it's going to be unless you try.
So wait, what's your team? What did your team end up with?
Oh, I get the scraps.
Yeah,
I get
better than mine.
Jalen Hurts, J.K. Dobbins, and CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, your pretty team good is team. Second best.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well,
I'm telling you.
What was interesting is how much better Miles Sanders' career numbers are than Joe Mixon, rate-wise.
Maybe that's why rate stuff like that doesn't matter. All
right.
Of course. Michael Pittman had a pretty damn solid year. 8.4 yards per target and a 68% catch rate on a respectable 9.8 ADOT. That's really good.
So Chris Ballard, while we're there, Chris Ballard said they're not opposed to bringing back T.Y. Hilton, which will be interesting. Really would probably help Michael Pittman, to be honest with you. And he also said, unsolicited, don't give up on Paris Campbell yet. So, you know, we'll see if he can stay healthy. And it's funny, you go back to the combine 2 years ago, Campbell was, you know, one of the fastest guys there. It was him and Terry McLaurin in terms of speed. And we know Campbell, unfortunately, just has not stayed healthy. Right. So that's a real area of need for the Colts, is to find another receiver or some help at receiver and probably tight end as well.
Well, that's all I have for today's show. Glad it went so well.
You have a mystery outro?
No, but man, this guy Donnybrook really hates me. My goodness. Okay. Oh, Dan Schneier's watching too. I got a great Dan Schneier story. I listened to Dan Schneier's podcast and I have a review of it, and I'll give it on the air next time Dan Schneier's on. So Big Blue Banter. It's a good podcast. So that's Dave and Jamie. I'm Adam. We'll talk to you.
Answer your question.
What?
You didn't answer Dan's question.
I didn't follow him on Twitter, so Jamie makes it out to be that I got on Ryan Wilson's bad. Jamie's such an instigator. He made Breece Hall hate Ryan Wilson. He's making Ryan Wilson hate me. Jamie's trying to like just ruin all these relationships for Ryan Wilson.
Ryan would just like to know why you haven't had him on yet.
We're going to have him on.
It's draft season, and you haven't had him on yet.
Not really draft season.
Yeah, the combine is draft season.
Yeah, whatever.
You had Chris Trapasso on.
Next time we do mystery draft, I'll have Ryan on.
Why don't you do that with prospects? See if Ryan can guess the prospect. Oh, I bet you can.
It's a good idea. All right, we're out of here. Bye.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.